All right, are you ready?
I guess as ready as we will be.
It'll be wonderful. Okay. Give it a little pause, so if Riley needs to cut any of this out, any of the intro stuff, we can. But thank you for joining us today, Tom and Carol, to re-celebrate you again for your outstanding agriculture leader contributions. The first question I have for you today is to tell me a little bit about your current involvement in agriculture and what you've been doing since you were first selected as outstanding agriculture leaders.
Well, it's what we've been doing since we were chosen in 2005. There's been quite a bit of water under the bridge. We've made some changes, moved from being very busy that way to busy other ways, and now in retirement. And since then, we have the two businesses we had, the one Carol ran and the one that I ran up here in Wilsalt with the grain elevators. And Carol ran the store in Livingston, which was a little bit like a farm and ranch supply store, but also did a lot of other things too, for higher-end women's clothing and footwear and that type of thing, gifts. And we're in a tourist area down there, of course, in Livingston. And then we've since closed both of those. And after about a year, I got tired of doing not near as much. And we ended up moving to South Dakota, where I worked for Wilbur-Ellis and as an agronomist. And then when they closed that operation, I went on to CHS and ran an agronomy facility in Highmore, South Dakota for CHS, and then retired from there about 4.5 years ago.
So, and Tom's also on the National FFA Agronomy Committee, so he's been traveling when they could travel back to Indianapolis and helping write the tests and then proctor the tests, and he's really contributed a lot that way because he also facilitated or coached the class when we were in Highmore, and he took them from the bottom of the agronomy class or team from the bottom of the contest to winning it finally, and they learned what it took to win, and they felt like it was a really pretty good thing to do. So it's kind of changed the whole FFA program in Highmore because of what he showed them, how if you work hard and study, you can win and have success. So that was really exciting for me to see. And now he serves on the Bridger Canyon Property Owners Association, as well as that we have a place in Bridger Canyon. And then he just got back from 2 weeks in Iowa helping his son harvest corn and beans. So, you know, he's still very much on the farm doing that. And after I closed the store, I went back to Highmore, obviously, but then I substituted because how do you get to know a small community? You get to know their kids. So I went into the school and learned that, and then worked in the assessor's office, but just always involved with kids, I guess, because I'm very conscious having raised 3 children and now we have 10 grandchildren, and you know, they're on the farm, off the farm, but all involved in ag to some degree. Our daughter is in data management with an ag company. Our 2 sons work for a crop protection company, Syngenta. One is in a district manager and the other's in a lead marketing position. So we kind of bleed blue and gold. We're very committed to that, but seeing the next generation come up is pretty exciting because the ones on the farm now back in Iowa are raising their hogs and raising their chickens, and it's really fun to do that. And then we're also involved just here supporting kids that are going into ag and anything to do with the FFA program.
Wow, thank you for remaining so involved in agriculture. That's amazing for me at least to look at starting out my career, seeing what all you have accomplished and decided to invest into. It's pretty sweet, very encouraging.
Yeah, it was really fun. Last year we celebrated, we had 7 of our 10 state officers from 68, 69 celebrated our 50th anniversary from that at the state convention. That was, well, now it would be convention before last because last year was more virtual.
Wow. So pulling on all of your combined expertise, what advice would you give someone that's starting out pursuing a career in agriculture?
Well, I would say, first of all, you have to live willing to be able to take a risk. You know, don't always stay in your comfort zone. And then you have to know who you are. And I always thought when the kids were growing up, they had to know who they weren't and what they didn't like as much as they had to go after what they liked. Our daughter found out she did not like raising hogs. That's not her forte. And so it hasn't changed to this day. She does not. And I think we have to be willing to ask questions and then listen. You have to listen to the customers. You have to listen to the world around you. And you have to listen to mentors that have already walked in your path. And you have to be willing to admit you don't have all the answers. You finally get to that point, and that's where we're at. We don't know it all, but we're willing to give a handout to those who are coming up.
And it's really important that, especially as students, that you gain mentorships wherever you can that are functional toward the career you're going into, but also just in general. You don't want to be naive walking into agriculture. There's a lot of ways of doing things, but there's the ethics that go with it, and you need to maintain a moral compass. Things like that are not always taught in formal education, but they can be readily taught by a good mentor or mentors, and also the associations that you find yourself involved in, formal associations, for example, the Montana Ag Business Association, Montana Grain Elevator Association was 2 that I was involved with, as well as several others, Extension Advisory Committee and several things, Canadian, working with Alberta, Canada on a cross-border working group for a while, just being aware of the world around you and being aware of the relationships that you have that will lead you to, one, where you want to go, and also to where you should go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's good advice from both of you. Thank you. And leading into that, you both, I'm sure, have formed countless relationships, professional and otherwise, within the agricultural industry. Why do you think it's so important to celebrate people who work in the agricultural industry?
Well, I think it's a tremendous challenge to feed the world. And you have to be willing to change and adapt to how we do it now with Precision Ag. But there's still nothing, you know, you still have to know what a cow is and, you know, how to do the branding. I mean, there's a wide spectrum of that you have to do. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to celebrate. I think I'd answer more in the fourth question on that. When we get to that, about the diversity of experience that you can have in agriculture, it's, I would say, probably broader or more broad than just about any pursuit that you would have professionally. The opportunities out there have expanded from genetics, which has become a huge thing. And
not only animals, but seed. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seed, just like one company took the bitterness out of Brussels sprouts. And then we've had nutraceuticals on the farm, or rice with additional vitamin A, saving many people, millions literally, from going blind. The stuff they're working on now for RNAi technology and several other things are just astonishing of what they intend to do. And it branches off that into medicine, cancer research. MSU has got quite a few patents of cancer research out of the people in the College of Agriculture. There's cross ties to so many things. And when you say people got to eat, a lot of people view agriculture as just production. And that is such a tiny part of agriculture because there's transportation, there's communications, there's AI is becoming huge. There's research, so much animal research and human research is tied together with different vaccines, a multiple of different things there. And even to the point of astronomy. Remember, the cow jumped over the moon. So there's so many things that that are involved. I couldn't even touch on the multiples pursuits that you can do. They're so exciting. You're looking at veterinary medicine. I've had friends in veterinary medicine, and that has branched out. And the specializations from there. Used to be a vet was a vet. Now there's small animal vets and large animal vets, and there's this and there's that. And there's research and teaching and all kinds of things. So it touches almost every area of our lives.
And I would just like to add too that I really think the egg industry is really about relationships. It's not just what you know, but you really need to know how to get along with people. You need to celebrate from where you come. I would say give them roots and give them wings. So it's important that you value relationships and learn how to work with those and cultivate them. And I mean, Tom was a state officer 50 years ago, but he still keeps in touch with some of those. And you just have that networking in business. It's incredible. So I think that is really a huge part on just that. Being the mom of kids and watching them, you know, you have to teach them, learn how to manage in this world and to get along, you know, that's a really important key factor.
Yeah, for sure. Especially within all of those different segments and areas that you just highlighted.
You know, it's such a privilege when we look at, we had four generations out there in Iowa harvesting, you know, and families working together. That's a really key thing, the opportunity that is a huge gift.
It is. And that's a very unique and wonderful aspect of agriculture, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So we've kind of led into this question a little bit already, but when you think about the agricultural industry, what specifically are you excited for or looking forward to in the near future?
I'm looking forward to education coming alongside in such a way as to provide real basis for the students going into, whether it be 2-year or 4-year or postgraduate, into the opportunities that have presented themselves. SDSU, South Dakota State University, is first bachelor's program in precision ag. I think we'll see others to follow. You take a look at Grand Forks, North Dakota, and North Dakota State, but Grand Forks is really into drone technology. And there's other places going into that more too. MSU has got a program now, I believe, with 3 staff at least that are delving into that. As an agronomist, I worked with some of that in South Dakota, and it was, you'll see these new technologies come and they will expand, and then realism hits and they'll go down. And then when they expand the next time, which is what we're seeing now, is some real utilization of that technology in ways that we hadn't dreamed of. And then artificial intelligence tied with that. Auto steer is so passe. But you know, compared to what it was. Mm-hmm. And the equipment is, the sophistication of the equipment, monitoring yield moisture as you're moving. The on-the-farm technology is huge, and it's getting bigger all the time. Several companies have, global companies have, very sophisticated programs. Our youngest son is involved with one. And he is, there's so much happening that you can hardly keep up with it. Helping farmers manage Climate Corp, an offshoot of Monsanto, was, or a purchase of Monsanto, I guess, some time back, shows the growth and sophistication. Now, other companies have come along, large chemical fertilizer companies and so on, and you're seeing a real networking of companies coming. You see even competitors coming together on some issues to develop. There are things with lasers alone that are absolutely off the charts. And the stuff we're doing from satellite with the accuracy with like RTX and RTK, you know, where you can go within a centimeter accuracy of putting something in the ground. Now you're doing depth things. And then you look at some of the stuff there, you're going to be able to monitor the root systems in the soil by laser, by sonar, and several other technologies. And that's why I say it's just, it is so broad and it is so exciting. And egg mechanics used to be pretty simple, working on an old hay binder, a mower, or a, that type of thing. I won't count balers, they've always been complicated. The technology is just through the roof on it. And it's there again, back to relationships. If you can't get along with people, those things aren't going to happen.
Well, I just am really impressed that it's someplace that your word and your integrity is important. Having been in the grain industry for 40 years, you know, if you didn't have integrity, your word wasn't good, you know, might as well just shut the doors. So the kids have got to see that. And I guess I'm very conscious of raising this next generation with some good moral values so that they can go out. And yes, there's great to have technology, but if you don't have the heart behind the wheel, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. And if you're not treating people right, that's very important.
And I think you were seeing some things too with emotional intelligence and some of these other things fitting in with family succession planning. That's another facet that didn't used to be as much, and now it has become very sophisticated, building family trusts and so on to keep things together. That's part important too. There's your law degree, accounting degrees, water management, just on and on.
But we better end if it's 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been really good. Thank you, both Tom and Carol. I have enjoyed this a lot. I can't wait for everyone else to what you guys have
to say. We're the first ones. Yes, okay.
I'm very excited about it. So, thank you.
Thank you.